Let's take our first call. Tony in Craigavon. Morning, Tony.
Hello, Stephen.
What's just before we hear your story, what's your top line reaction to this?
It isn't very good. I've been paying the health service for... I'm 68 now. I've been paying all my life in the health service.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous waiting so long, you know.
And don't forget the class issue here. Don't forget the them and us issue here, because there will be people, of course, that can put their hand in their pocket and buy private health care.
Yeah.
And for those people who can do that, bingo. They're put at the top of the list, they get their surgery, they get themselves sorted. But for other good, decent, working class people, is the NHS in Northern Ireland delivering for them?
No.
Tell us what's happened to you.
I had a stop work last year. I'm 68, but I was working after retirement. And when he went last year, they told me I'd have to wait almost a year to see a consultant. And after that, if I needed a replacement, almost a year again to see the good surgery. But I want to go private, £200 I can see a consultant this week.
Yeah.
I need surgery for £7,000, I can have an operation next week. Hello.
Yeah. So for money you can see a consultant this week?
I can be fixed next week for £7,000.
Yeah. And you're dependent on the system all your life?
I left school 15 in 1962 and I paid the system since 1962.
Think of all those political parties in Northern Ireland who say that they work for working class people like you. They deliver for working class people like you. They're really delivering for you, aren't they?
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah. I wonder, has the health minister released any type of reaction this morning?
I haven't heard.
To this. He's on holiday, actually, I hear.
Yes, well,
so he is entitled to his holiday, to be fair.
Yes.
Hmm.
We're on Taylor Holidays.
Julie, good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Julie.
I am a member of, it's a semi-private healthcare, it's Benenden it's called, and it's not as good as Bupa, but it still pays a consultant privately. Now, I have had two orthopaedic minor investigations over the last couple of years, and I got an appointment with an NHS consultant in Belfast within a week, both times. And the stipulation is that it has to be an NHS registered consultant. So if I can see an NHS registered consultant in a week, paying privately. I got the benefit of it, but to me, those consultants should be maybe putting a bit more time into their NHS waiting list.
So it's the two-tier system again. It's the them and us.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah. And I've taken advantage of it, but I mean, it's both my knees. I couldn't sit like that poor man.
How much did you have to pay?
I pay for myself and my husband. I think I pay about £20-something a month.
Yeah. Well worth it now you're in the situation you're in, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm, very much so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I got a procedure on my hand last week, carpal tunnel syndrome release, and the surgeon that did it told me that her waiting list was over a year to get this surgery done, and I got it done in 6 weeks.
I think the actual
surgery done in 6 weeks.
I think sometimes, Julie, there can be particular people, particular callers, particular members of the public that become iconic of a particular story. And for me this morning, I'm starting to guess that John O'Hagan, who our health correspondent Mary-Louise Connolly has been speaking to, will become one of those iconic people.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just listen to him again and the distress in this man's voice and remind ourselves that this is a 75-year-old citizen and remind ourselves that that great institution up in the hill, Stormont, and all of those politicians in their suits and their salaries and their 10% pay increases recently, this is what they are delivering for this 75-year-old citizen of Northern Ireland who looks to devolution and thinks to himself, well, it's devolution. Is the local politicians and the local health service delivering for me? Listen to the distress.
I get depressed, but we'll carry on. I'm going about, the leg just falls apart. I can't do anything. I'm really depressed about it all. I mean, what I think about it is they've a lot of boys in the job and nobody knows what they're doing. I don't want to be sitting here looking out that window or the home. So I like to go for a walk. Very depressed. I need to get out. I'm an out person. I worked all the life and driving trucks and well. I can't sit here.
How long have they told you you'll have to wait to even see somebody?
Next February. I'll be dead for next February.
Thanks, Stormont, for delivering for this man. Thank you. 08459 555 678. You think of how they're currently squabbling at the minute, how they're currently fighting at the minute over welfare reform, how they can't seem to find compromise within themselves, how the amount of money that's available for services like the health service in Northern Ireland, that pot is shrinking and shrinking as more and more money is going out the door and fines and all that type of stuff, and they cannot find compromise. And sometimes, you know, you might think it's boring when this programme's banging on about how they can't find agreement over welfare reform, how they can't get consensus. Listen to John O'Hagan from County Antrim this morning. Good morning to you, Jennifer.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
I hear that you're emotional this morning. Tell me why you've called us.
I got sick in January. I'm 39 and was previously perfectly healthy. Got sick in January and ended up in hospital for a week. The hospital staff were all brilliant, but I didn't see the consultant for what I needed. It was a gynae issue. I didn't see anyone from gynae until they came to see me at 4 o'clock in the morning, when I'd been in hospital for nearly a week, and I'd taken a sleeping tablet to get to sleep. I've been off work ever since then, so since January I've been off, and taken a cocktail of painkillers that every doctor that I have shown them to, whether it be any time that I go to NE, they've all expressed the strength of the painkillers. They've expressed concern at the strength of the painkillers that I'm taking. I can't leave my house without somebody with me. I walk with a stick, and basically I've been told that I have to wait a year to 18 months for my operation unless I pay £4,000 and I can have it done in the morning.
Money talks, Jennifer.
Uh-huh. And it's so, you know, I have lost, the life that I had is gone. You know, the life that I knew ended on the 7th of January. I was totally independent, absolutely loved my job, had a great social life, and now all that's gone. I can't, literally cannot leave my house because I'm in incredible amounts of pain all of the time. And that's, you know, my life is dictated by tablets and trying to control the pain that I'm in.
Are you in much pain?
Incredible amount of pain all of the time, like incredible. I couldn't, to go back to the 7th of January, the pain that I live with day to day, I would have called it excruciating, and that's on the amount of tablets that I'm on, and taking like regular top-up tablets in between, and I cannot get on top of the pain at all, ever. I cannot believe that they can leave people like this. And I know that I'm not going to die from my issue. That's the one good thing that kind of keeps me going. I know there's people out there that are worse off than me, but I cannot believe that they can leave you, that you can be on your hands and knees crying to a doctor and saying that you can't cope living like this. I want to get back to work. I've begged my workplace to let me back, and they can't let me back because the doctor won't sign me off, and I can't believe that they will leave somebody sitting like this with no income and no reason to be sitting with like this. But I could be leading to kidney problems with the amount of tablets that I'm taking. So this is something that could lead on to other issues for me, and you know, in later time, and more money for the NHS to pay out.
The leaders of this country are really delivering for you, aren't they?
Well, my consultant 100% squarely put the blame for this on the politicians. He said that this would not have happened a year ago. He said, I would have had you in a private clinic within 6 to 8 weeks of me being admitted to hospital.
So you're being told that if you have £4,000, you can have an interview this week, you can have an operation this
morning.
Week.
In the morning, he said to me, I could have you in the next morning.
But if you don't, you're waiting how long?
Well, it was 18 months from January, so about a year now.
Yeah.
And the pain,
see, that's the other part to this story, the class issue in this. That many, many of these political parties who position themselves as being of the working class, fighting for the working class, and many of those politicians themselves who, because of their income from the public, can afford that £4,000 that you can't afford. Are they actually working hard for you? Are they delivering for you?
Not in zero, absolutely zero. How can they be when I don't see, I'm in hospital, hooked up to so many painkillers in drips and everything else, and they come to see me. The doctors are so hard worked and so that they cannot find any time to come and see me until 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 or 5 days after I've been in hospital.
I'll tell you right now what your story describes in a nutshell. The two-tier classist health system that we now have in Northern Ireland. The two-tier system. If you've got money, if you're rich, then you will be treated well and properly this week. If you're in pain, if you're not, and this is no slight on the fantastic, incredible NHS workers. This is about the politicians. Mm-hmm. If you're not rich, you live in Northern Ireland, you'll be left, as you describe it, on your hands and knees in pain.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And not being able to, I can't provide for anybody. I can't put money back in to the system, to the community or anything else because I'm now totally without my job.
Yeah.
You know, and that leaves me sitting as well at home by myself with no interaction with anybody. And then what happens then? I am lucky that I can keep myself going. But other people, you know, you would slip into depression and all. It just leads on to so many different problems and issues that just can be longer lasting than a simple operation. And that's me back to normality.
Every line into the BBC currently jammed this morning. We're going to provide you with a platform today. That's the bottom line. George in Guildford. Morning, George.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, you had a man on there and he said that he couldn't get the thing for, what, a couple of years or something.
Yeah.
You know, same man on, or no man on, saying that if he paid £7,000 to a consultant, he could be taken tomorrow or the next week.
Two-tier health service.
Yes, but here's the point. Who gets that £7,000 or $8,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is? Is it the surgeon or the hospital? Because if
both,
you go through
both,
the operation...
Both, so lots of the consultants. Both,
you're
George.
You're kept by ordinary nurses in an ordinary... place in an ordinary hospital.
Well, you're not. So in some of these private hospitals, what happens is some of the staff work just private, but many of the people doing the operations, in fact, the vast majority of them, will be NHS consultants who are doing private work. So they will get some of those thousands of pounds, yes.
But you still go back into, if you're not in a private hospital, you still go back into the ordinary hospital to look after the ordinary nurses. Who, does that surgeon pay the health service? Hello?
There is a two-tier system now. It's glaring at you this morning, George.
Yes, I know. It's
glaring at you.
It's not private hospitals that you go to all the time whenever you go for an operation. You go into an ordinary hospital with ordinary nurses. Does that surgeon or that consultant, does he pay the National Health for the use of the National Health Hospital? Are we paying for that in Ireland? He puts the money in his pocket. Hello?
Part of this story this morning is about the stories we're going to hear about citizens in Northern Ireland being let down by the politicians of this country who cannot deliver for them. That's part of this story this morning. The other part of this story this morning is it is smacking you up the face. If you are working class in this country, if you don't have lots of free cash in this country, you're being punched up the face this morning with the very, very, hold on, with the very, very stark message that you will be now treated differently in Northern Ireland because if you've got money, you can buy your way to get out of pain this week, tomorrow, the next day, and if you don't have money, you will be left in pain. By the system, not by the staff, not by the nurses and doctors who want to treat you, they're not being resourced properly. They're not being given the money.
Money. You're really putting all people that are waiting, that can't pay, you're putting them back, surely.
Well, no, you're not, because the way it works is these consultants, there's so much demand for their time that there's loads of private work for them. So you're not putting anyone back in the NHS. The NHS will have a set amount of hours, George.
Yeah.
And the consultants will do those hours as they're contractually obliged to do. But then they saunter off, as they're entitled to do, by the way, within their contracts, and they will do their private work, which allows them to, you know, drive their big cars and live in their big houses.
Yes.
Fair enough, people will say. But the private sector, if you can buy your way out of pain, you'll get it in Northern Ireland, no problem.
But the whole thing is sort of morally wrong.
It comes down to the people that are supposed to represent you and everyone else in Northern Ireland, whether you've got money or not. The people in Stormont. That's what this comes down to.
And seemingly, but what we hear on your programme and our programme's thing is only going to get worse.
Yeah, because don't forget, as they've turned this, we warned you about this on Nolan Live a number of months ago. As they've turned the tap off now, so the way it works is, right, the way it works is you've got the NHS and then you've got work that was being done, paid for by the NHS, okay? The way that the NHS tried to keep their waiting list lower, George, was that they would have pushed some of the work into the private sector, okay?
Yes.
And that basically meant that the NHS, when they were looking at that work, they were thinking to themselves, well, look, we can't do X amounts of operations in our facility, so we'll make sure that person isn't waiting 2 years because we will pay for it and we will push them into the private sector, okay?
Yep.
And that the NHS would pay for it, essentially. That was turned off. The tap to that was turned off. And we warned you on Nolan Live last year that what that meant was that not just waiting lists would go up, but think about it. Every single month now in Northern Ireland, that backlog is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So every single month that the private sector isn't taking some of the slack off the NHS, those waiting lists are getting longer and longer and more people are going on to them. That's the situation.
And that's only been able to show up now.
Well, but it's no. No. We were telling you about this months ago. It's getting worse.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be far worse.
So month on month, this is going to get worse and worse and worse. And meanwhile, what do you hear on this programme on a daily basis? Ah, well, the political parties can't agree a way forward for the budget in Northern Ireland.
Oh, disgraceful. Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Right, listen, thank you. John, good morning, John.
Stephen. Hello?
Go ahead, John.
Stephen, my wife's been waiting surgery for 4 years for her back. She's only 40 years of age and she's had three discs in her back gone. And she's been waiting 4 years for surgery and she doesn't know when she's going to get it. Basically.
Four years.
She's been sent to the private sector and she was meant to get it last July or last June and then she was told, no, there's no money left for the private sector. There's no money left. Your surgery will be put back again. And she went to physiotherapy. She's been going to physiotherapy for the last 2 years. And she went on Monday. And when she came home, she was sitting on the sofa. She went to get up. And her legs gave way and she fell in the house.
Hmm. Do you both work?
I work. My wife doesn't. She can't work now because she's been out of work the last 4 years.
But she did work.
Oh, she did work. She worked all her life.
Yeah. So when she sees her pay slip every month and money's coming out for national insurance and
yep. It's
precisely what she was paying for.
Yes.
She was paying into the system, as are you, so that you and your family will be able to turn to the likes of the NHS when you need it. So you've paid for it. You've paid
for it. I've been paying I'm 46, so I've been paying, I've never been unemployed. I've worked all my life. That's an absolute disgrace. 40 years of age, she can't go out. If she wants to go out, I've got to go out with her. And I've got to do everything. She can't. She's got to walk a wee bit and then stop and then walk again. And in the house, she can't do nothing because I've got to do everything. Because she's in that much pain. She takes about 15 tabs a day. It's an absolute disgrace what the politicians are doing for the money they're getting.
What? John, thank you. So your partner waiting 4 years, Anne in Ballymoney. Morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Good morning. How long's your husband waiting?
This is into his fourth year. He's had 3 pre-op assessments, and after each one, he's had 3 MRI scans, 3 pre-op assessments, and after each one, it just goes dead. We hear nothing. In fact, last year, he was given a date and was told that he would get a letter confirming it. Nothing happened. We got nothing. We started again at the beginning of this year, phoning them up, trying to get in contact. He was in the hospital there a couple of weeks ago for almost 2 weeks. He has been on morphine patches for quite a long time. He's gotten at this age where he's falling over. The pain is excruciating, is the only way I could describe it. He has no quality of life whatsoever. And he was in the hospital, got his MRI scan, had the gown on the bed, was ready for his operation, and was told at lunchtime it was cancelled.
Yeah.
He's now home with a load of heavy painkillers, which are not making any difference to his pain whatsoever. And the surgeon is actually on holiday at the moment. When he comes back, we're not sure whether...
How long's he been waiting, Anne?
This is into his fourth year. And he's had 3 pre-op assessments and all to get a date for his op, and it hasn't happened. And he is in constant excruciating pain.
Would he speak to me this morning?
He's very emotional, and I don't think he could, to be honest.
Anne, thank you for your story today. I want you to speak to Gareth here behind the scenes, okay? So stay on the line for me.
Thank you.